Let's pray together. It's the blood of Jesus that covers us, Lord, and we're thankful that you sent your Son. We're also thankful that you sent your Spirit to dwell in us. And so now we ask, Lord, may your Spirit awaken and stir us to your Son. Lord, may the words that we read today out of your holy word draw us to Jesus and make us more like Jesus. That is our prayer this morning, Lord. Please transform us by the renewing of our mind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Birthday season has begun in our house, and we celebrate birthdays a little bit differently this year with the Rona raging. We are not having large parties at our house like we normally do. But we did celebrate a couple of birthdays this week, or one birthday this last week, Sunday, and then we have two birthdays coming this week. And I know one is shared with Jay and with James and maybe Megan? Yes? Okay. And then we have some in October. Birthday season is a little different. And I got to thinking about birthday parties and those sorts of things. And I can remember years ago when I was a wee lad, and was probably, I was probably Nate's age, Ash's age, and I went to a birthday party, and I was thrown for a loop. And I liked to have a lot of fun as a kid, and I was always one who tried to stir things up a little bit and have some fun. My wife can tell you that hasn't stopped this week. You can ask her about the cereal episode this week if you want to hear a funny story. But there was a girl there, and I don't even know who it was, but they were serving cookies at this birthday party, and they were homemade cookies. And this girl had it. She was smart. And I can remember they came out and they brought a plate of cookies out there for everybody to share at this party. And as they brought the plate of cookies out, there was one cookie that was the cookie. And y'all know what I'm talking about. If you see a plate of cookies, you know the cookie. It's the one that's a little bigger, a little more plump than every other cookie, because, you know, you make them and sometimes they get a little bit bigger. And we used to have this debate at our house. They'd try to pick cookies and in a certain order so they get the biggest, nicest cookie. Well, this girl, as the cookies were brought out, she said, "That one's mine." And of course, what did every other kid say? "No, no, that one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine." You know what this girl did? She said, "No, that one's mine." She took her finger and stuck it in the cookie with her spit all over it. That cookie was hers. I didn't want any more. She claimed that cookie. Now, y'all see what I'm talking about now, right? She claimed that cookie. Last week, if you weren't with us, we talked about anointing. We talked about, and what does that word mean in Greek? It literally means smear. And it means to set apart. And if you remember, we said it went back to the priest. So we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. And we're going to further develop your anointing by the Holy, or with the Holy Spirit, by the Son. So Jesus, Christian, has claimed you. And he's smeared you. He's marked you. He's put his seal on you. And you are his. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open up, and we're going to be jumping around this morning, and we're going to start in 2 Corinthians. The scriptures will be behind you, and Stacy will be leading you through them all, but we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Invite you, please read this aloud with me as we repeat it again. We are in our year of 2020, the year of truth and finding truth. Read this with me. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments of every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We are seeking truth in 2020. Truth in 2020 is what we're seeking, and where else to find the truth is the Word of God. So here's the truth. You are marked by the Spirit of God, or with the Spirit of God. You are marked. You are a child of God. And what a good song you sang, and good songs that you chose this morning, just in worship this morning, and focusing on that truth that we'd rather have Jesus. And He has us in all actuality. So going back to this anointing, verse 20 of John, 1 John chapter 2. But you, church, have been anointed by the Holy One. You've been anointed by the Holy. And that's literally what it says. You've been anointed by the Holy. And I shared with you a little bit about that verse last week about where we find it in the New Testament. Miss Shirley, she brought me another verse where she found it where the Holy was there. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But this verse here, I'll read verse 20 and 21 together. And you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So we're going to get to furthering that idea here of you being anointed, set apart, and you knowing what's true, and that you are not embracing the lie. I told you it all went back to the priesthood. We looked at Exodus chapter 40. Won't read all of these to you, but in Exodus chapter 40, it's the priesthood being set apart and anointed with oil. You see Aaron, and in verse 15, they're going to anoint Aaron and his sons, set them apart for a priesthood, not to be shepherds, not to do the things everybody else was doing, but to be a vehicle of a way for people to communicate with God and to worship God. That's who Aaron and his sons were. They were set apart for the worship of God. I also, in studying this week, I found another verse from the Old Testament that I thought was really good. We talked about not only was the priesthood anointed and set apart, but Jesus is also anointed and set apart. And I found Daniel. So this is a new one, y'all. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Watch this. And after 62 weeks, Daniel's prophecy says, an anointed one shall be cut off. And you know who the anointed one who was cut down or cut off from his people, who is that? It was Jesus. And even from Daniel, which is 400 years before Jesus, he's saying the Messiah, the coming one, the chosen one, is going to be cut off, and he is the chosen one. Luke 9:35, Jesus is the chosen one. Listen to him. And we looked at the Greek word that John uses, and it's that word chrisma. It sounds a lot like Christmas, but it's chrisma, and it is the word that is what is smeared onto someone. So this is a little different. There are several words we looked at. Several words mean anointed in the scripture. There's like seven or eight of them. But this specific one, chrisma, is what is actually smeared on. And the neat thing about that is that that what is smeared on sounds a whole lot like the word that we use for Jesus, chris. Jesus Christ. It's that same root word. And so, Christian, this is what John is trying to get across to his early churches. You are smeared with the Holy One. In the same way that Jesus is the chosen one for salvation, church, you are the chosen people of God to proclaim Christ. You are chrismad with Christ, if you will. You get that? You are chrismad with Christ. You are smeared on with Jesus. Now, how does that work? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because you are smeared on with Christ in a way that doesn't make sense to everybody. Jesus Christ was a man, and he came to the earth, God in the flesh. He lived a life for 33-ish years. He lived a perfect life, was crucified by the religious leaders of his time, his own people, betrayed by his own people, was laid in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the grave in order to prove his divinity and his victory over death. And then he rose 40 days later to the Father. And Jesus' body is no longer here. So how are you now chrismad with Christ? How is Christ in you then? And that's a great question. Because Christ is now in you through what? And we're going to look at that. John's going to tell us. You already know. But let me remind you of one other verse that I think is so helpful for us. Church, you are God's chosen people. And 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you have another destiny. You have a destiny, church, of being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his possession. So, church, let's not forget, we are set apart. You, church, are a chosen people for a purpose, that you might proclaim the excellencies who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a great truth that is. Now to our anointing. Oh, let me give you the other verse that Ms. Shirley found for me. It's from Acts chapter 3. Let me read this one to you. Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But you denied the holy and righteous one. But you denied, you know, this is Peter's sermon talking to them about denying who Jesus is and then sending Jesus to be crucified on the cross. He indicts them and says, you denied the holy and anointed. The holy and righteous, rather. You denied the holy and righteous one. That's Jesus Christ, your Lord. All right, now here to our anointing, our smearing. Our smearing. Nate last week made a big decision, or I guess followed through with a big decision last week, and Nate decided he was going to give his life formally to the Lord and be baptized and say, look, this is a time when I'm officially giving my life to the Lord and committing myself to him. Nate was baptized with water. And listen to what John says about this. John said this, after me comes someone who is mightier than I. Speaking of whom? Church, help me out. Speaking of Jesus, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. All right, that's Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. How are you chrismed with Christ? You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You get it? Hey, chosen generation, remember this. Your destiny, like Peter told you, is not to be disobedient. Your destiny is to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that you might overcome your sin and not willfully be engaged in sin, but overcome our sin and give our obedience as an offering to our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1:5 says this, for John baptized with water, but Jesus says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. How much time do we spend, church, praying, oh Lord, let your Spirit have dominance over me. Let your Spirit have control over me. And if you're not praying that prayer, I encourage you, church, that is a prayer that needs to be regularly prayed. Lord, I am frustrated. Let your Spirit influence me. Lord, I am scared. Let your Spirit overwhelm me. Lord, I am lost in sin and the desires of my flesh. Let your Spirit overcome me. If there's nothing here this morning, that is practical outlay. That is the practical working out of Jesus Christ, his Spirit in us. Let's look at John, 1 John 2, verse 20. The second part of that verse. But you, church, have been anointed by the Holy One. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. And what is that second phrase? Y'all read it to me, please. And you all have knowledge. Now, some of you might have it a little differently in your translation. If you have the King James, New King James, you've got probably a little different wording. What do you have there? You KJVers. Anybody have it in front of them? I've memorized it. I'll go ahead and tell y'all. I memorized that whole half of a verse for you. The King James says, but you have all knowledge. And as I was preparing for this sermon and this particular section, that's what I was hearing in my head. You have all knowledge. Okay, so you have all knowledge. What does that mean? Does that mean we know all about physics now? We know all about everything that's out there? And we know chemistry and we know all of literature and we have all knowledge because we're Christian? Obviously, the answer to that is no, of course not. That's not what that means. And then as I'm reading, I'm going, wait, that doesn't say you have all knowledge, because that's how I've heard it my whole life. I read it and I went, wait, that says that you all have knowledge. So I said, not the way. So then I went back and I looked up King James. I said, I know that I've heard it this way. I went back and looked up King James, and King James says, and you have all knowledge. Well, what's the difference here? So I went back to my ESV, and well, actually, after that, I went to Holman Christian or Christian Standard Bible. I went to some other translations, NIV, and said, okay, well, that says you all have knowledge. The only two that I'm seeing in here is you have all knowledge is King James, New King James. So what's going on? There's a story whenever you see that, church. Remember, the Bible was written in Greek, not English, and we're translating. So here's what's going on there. I looked at my footnote in ESV, and if you have your Bible, you know how to use your Bible. Look, you'll see a little one next to this verse. And it should say, some manuscripts have, and you have all knowledge. So what's happening there is, one of the later manuscripts has that, you have all knowledge. And that, when the King James is translated, New King James pulled from that, same manuscripts. But some of the earlier manuscripts have it differently. I actually looked at the Greek last night. Pretty neat. And it's, but you all have knowledge in the earlier manuscripts. So that's why the other newer translations have that. So what's going on here? What's the point of this? You have knowledge. Christian, you have knowledge. And what is that knowledge? And this is important. It's important. What knowledge do you have? Do you know everything? Well, no. You don't know everything. What do you know? And this is where, look, I hope that y'all learn how to read the Bible through some of my messages to you. This is where you have to say, all right, what knowledge is he talking about here? Remember the context. And I know we've spent a lot of time in this passage. The context helps us. He's talking about Antichrist coming and there being false messages presented, false versions of Jesus, false teaching within the church. And he's saying here, but no, you have the knowledge that you need. You don't have to listen to other messages that are coming to you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I saw him. I knew him. I saw what he did. I saw him die. I saw him be buried. I saw him alive again. I saw him. I'm an eyewitness. Peter tells us that we don't believe cleverly devised schemes. And I sent you that verse, and I'm out of order, Stacy, but Peter tells us in his document, or in his letter, we saw, you're not believing cleverly devised schemes, you're believing what I'm telling you because I saw him. We are believing Jesus. So the knowledge that we have is that we know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose, and he paid for our sin in order to give us fellowship with God. So, high school students, college students, I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, you don't have all knowledge, and you're not going to ace every test because you're a Christian, McKenzie. I'm sorry to say. But Abby, you got something better. You have something better. You have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And church, not everybody in this world has the knowledge of the gospel. And you may have been brought up in a Christian home. And praise the Lord for that. You heard the gospel of Jesus. You may be a transplant into this church. You may have been brought up in a non-Christian home and found Jesus because somebody took the time to share the Lord and the gospel with you. Praise the Lord. You have knowledge, Christian. And it is our job. And I believe John is encouraging us here that the Spirit is in us, like Jesus told the early church in Acts, you'll be my witnesses. And it's our job to go be witnesses. You may not have all knowledge, but what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You have the knowledge that you need for salvation. So I want to encourage you to do something this week. Can I do that? Can I encourage you to go do something? Y'all, check this out. Whoever shared the gospel with you, if they are still living, go tell them thank you. Go tell them thank you. Whoever shared the gospel with you and communicated the message of salvation with you, go tell them thank you. If they're not, then find somebody that might be related to them, a friend, a family member, a spouse, a child, whatever it may be. Try to find somebody and express thanksgiving for that person who gave you the knowledge of the gospel. And if you do that, y'all come tell me about that. I want to hear some stories. It gives you an opportunity to at least speak of Jesus to somebody you might not normally speak with. So I'm going to have I know who I heard it from, and I'm going to have fun with it this week, and I'll let you know how that goes. All right, let's keep going. Look down in verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2. Speaking of the anointing. So you're anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge of the message of Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Y'all still with me this morning? All right, good. But the anointing you received from him abides where? In you. All right, this is a big deal, church. Christian, big deal. Renewing of your mind right here. This is true. The anointing you received, the smear that you received, where is it? In the Old Testament, what did they do to the priests that were going to be anointed for service? They anointed the outside of the body. Well, guess what happens when you take a shower? Wash off. Christian, the anointing you've received don't get washed away when you take a shower. It stays in you because he's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ in you. So those of you who have been baptized this year and who have committed your life to the Lord, here's the deal for you. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have publicly showed this church and others around the world that you're committing yourself to Jesus because that smearing is in you. He abides in you. And you have no need, continues the verse, and you have no need that anyone should teach you any new truths. You've heard the message of Jesus. And this is not John saying you don't need Bible teachers. I mean, obviously the New Testament is replete with Bible teachers and people teaching and commands to be teachers. He's saying you don't need anybody to teach you a new message about Jesus being Messiah. You have the message. His anointing teaches you about everything. And the Spirit is going to affirm the message that you've heard about Jesus. How many of you have been a Christian for over 20 years? Raise your hand, please. I'm just curious. Over 20 years you've been a believer. Okay, awesome. Do you remember your conversion? Do you remember hearing about Jesus Christ? He saves sinners. Do you remember feeling convicted as a sinner when Billy Graham was talking, or whoever it might be was talking, and you remember hearing the message and then just knowing that's true? Do you remember that? Christian, do you remember that? I talked to a man this week, and he told me, look, I have no doubt that I'm a believer, because I remember hearing the truth and knowing that Jesus Christ was the Lord and the Savior of my soul. I remember, I know it for sure. And hey, y'all, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know it. You just know it. Paul says it this way. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does not invade your soul, does not invade your temple, and you not know it. If you do not know that you're a Christian, then maybe you need to do some business with the Lord. Because when the Lord comes upon you, you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And His Spirit is on you. And just like we knew that cookie was clean for that girl, you know that Jesus has smeared you, has made you His own, and is in you. Watch this. But you have no, continuing the verse, but His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in Him. So as His Spirit comes upon you, we're called to abide in Him. We're called to abide in Him. So here's what I want to take our last few moments to look at. So here's what we've talked about this morning. You are smeared with the Holy Spirit, set apart. You are God's chosen one. The Spirit of God is in you. He has convinced you. He has convicted you and convinced you, as Jesus says in His Gospel of John. He's come to convict and convince sinners that Jesus is the Lord. That's where we are. So here's the question for you. If Jesus has given you His Spirit, and He's called us to abide in Him, then what's the game plan for the rest of our time here? Because salvation is an instant. Salvation is a time in which Jesus comes. So now moving forward, Christian, now what? It's been said, so what, now what? So what, now what? Well, now what? What He said in this verse here is that you abide in Him. That you live, abide, live in Him. Man, I love the Gospel of John. John is just, I love reading. And his epistle, 1 John, pulls so many things out of his Gospel. In John 17:17, Jesus says this. He says, He's praying for His disciples. And He says, sanctify them in the truth. And then what does He say? Help me out, church. Your word is truth. Lord, sanctify my followers in the truth. Your word is true. So here's the question I have for you. Are you abiding in Jesus and in His word? Is it a regular part of your life? Does it need to be a more regular part of your life? Are we feasting on Scripture? Are we thinking about it? Are we breaking it down? Let me challenge something that has been challenging me. I'll challenge you with it. The Scripture does not speak of the Holy Spirit as a souped-up intuition. The Bible doesn't speak of the Holy Spirit of God as a souped-up mental intuition. Like, you know, should I choose milk or orange juice? Okay, Spirit, lead me. Which drink should I take? When you look at how Jesus spoke of His Spirit coming upon us, it's much more different than orange juice or milk for breakfast. The Spirit of God in us is the person of God who is trying to fix you more and more into a person that is like Jesus. So what? Now what? The Spirit of God needs to tweak you every day to make you more like His Son. And this is the purpose of you and I and me, y'all, me. I'm not preaching to you anything I'm not willing to hear myself. And this is me. I prayed even this morning, Lord, I need to do better. I really need to do better and focus more. It's so easy to get distracted. Spirit moving me. Let me read you from what Tristan read us. Who is the Spirit of God? And church, y'all dial in, please. Dial in. This is what the Bible says about the Spirit of God in you. This is massive. John 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Somebody help me out. What is that word for helper? Paracletos. We've talked about that. He is the paracletes, the helper that gives us that traction, that helps us be a better Christian, that helps transform us to overpower sin. He will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of God is with the church forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Now notice in these three passages, the same name of our Holy Spirit is given. And it is the Spirit of truth. So when he gets to 1 John, years later, and he's still talking about the Spirit of God leading you into the truth, what he's saying is, hey y'all, that didn't change. Remember when I told you the Spirit of truth? He still is the Spirit of truth. And you know what? 2,000 years later, Mary, guess what he still is? Spirit of truth. And so if you want truth, Fox News isn't the place to go. Google is not the place to go. The Word of God is the place to go. And the Spirit of truth takes these words. Watch this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom you cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. The world, rather, cannot receive. Not you. The world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, Christian, disciple, because He dwells with you and will be what? In you, just like John just told us in 1 John chapter 2. John chapter 15. But when the Paracletos, when He comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the what? Help me out, church. The what? Spirit of truth. Who proceeds from the Father, He will do what? He will bear witness about me. This is exactly what you saw, Christian. You heard the gospel. You recognized your sin. The Spirit bore witness. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Repent. Believe. Follow Jesus. This is salvation. This is the Spirit coming. Yes. Bearing witness to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus also bore witness through the writing of the books, the gospel books, and He bears witness today in us. And John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, Spirit's listening to Jesus, y'all. Whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. So here's the Spirit speaking to the disciples, listening to Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, John chapter 14, verse 6. Let's go back to that one. Let me remind you. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Your job is not to memorize every verse of Scripture in the Bible. Although that would be really cool. That's not your job. Your job is not to be right about everything. Although that's a really good thing, to be right. Your job is not to beat people up with the truth. Although oftentimes we must fight with the truth. and wrestle with principalities and the spirit of Antichristos in this world. Your job, your primary job, is to know truth. And I want to remind you at this point that truth is a person. Truth is a person. Hey, Annie, grab a seat right there. You're good. Truth is a person. Remember in John 14:6, y'all can quote that one for me, y'all. Come on. I am the way, truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the truth. Ultimately, Christian, what you want to do is know the giver of all truth. Know the maker of all truth. Know the one who formed all truth. And we would be remiss as Christians if we gathered and said, look, we know all the facts, we know all the doctrine, we know all the theology, but we've missed Jesus. And there are professors on campuses all over our country who know the Bible a lot better than many of you in here, but they don't know Jesus. I had a religion professor in college at LSU. He taught the Bible. He didn't know Jesus. I'll tell you that. So Christian, I want to, and even non-believer, I want to remind you of the utmost important thing is that by the Word of God, through the Spirit's anointing in you, that you do not miss Jesus. Do not miss knowing the true one. And if you don't know him today, I want to invite you to repent of your sin and to repent of your willful ignorance of Jesus Christ the Lord and to come and be saved from your sin and to know Jesus. And you can pray to him right now, Lord, I am a wretched man. Forgive me and receive me in Jesus' name. He can save your soul. And if you know and you sense the Spirit of God convicting you of Jesus Christ and who he is and drawing you out of sin and drawing you to the giver of truth, then pray that prayer. Seek his face. Give up your life and come to him this morning. Christian, if you're here this morning, I would encourage you that our job is to seek the maker of all truth. The Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of truth is in you. May we use our days to proclaim that message to someone else that Jesus saves sinners. And I called you back to remember, somebody shared with you the message of Jesus, right? Go find them, tell them thank you. It'd be a beautiful thing. And the second part of my challenge for you today is this. Take the message of truth that you know, that someone shared with you, and guess what? Try to find somebody to share it with. And I know that might not be a two-minute deal. Like the two-minute presentation things are probably not very effective most of the time. I get that. But God has called us to be messengers of the truth. Find somebody, start investing into them long term. Say, this person I really want to share Jesus with, and I want to spend some time investing into. And invest into them. The Spirit of truth. It's not your job to make Christians. It's your job to proclaim and be a witness of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit's job, just like it was in your life. So let's be faithful, church. Come to Jesus. And if you've come to Jesus, bring Jesus. And may the Spirit of truth, for the glory of God, do his work in sinners' souls. Let's pray to God. Oh, our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your Spirit who lives and moves in us. Father, we are thankful that someone shared the knowledge of Jesus with us. And Lord, we ask that you use us to be a conduit of that same message. And we pray that your Spirit move in our family and our friends. We pray that you give us the message of truth as witnesses of what he's done in us. May we bring that to someone else. Lord, we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you need to respond today, we'll be